Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And I want to preach a message today on Israel, the rapture, and the end of the world. Israel, the rapture, and the end of the world. That's a lot to cover in an hour and a half, but we'll see what we can do. My 80th birthday, I said to Brother Lindsay, I was talking to him, and I said, well, I'm just glad I can walk and I still have hair. And I looked around, and Brother Sides and Brother Peoples was standing by me. And I thought, how do I get out of this? I said, but the bald-headed people are the smart ones. Amen? Yeah, they're the smart ones. Okay. So, all right. Let's look at Ezekiel 37, then we'll turn to Matthew right quick. Ezekiel 37, begin with verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. You see it? It's the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. We're just going to be wiped away. We're not going to exist. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now go to Matthew 24, just for a couple of references there. Matthew 24 and verse 3, and then we'll look at verses 32 through 36. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And now move over to verse 32 of this same chapter, Matthew 24 and verse 32. And in this verse, he continues the prophetical thought, now learn a parable of the fig tree. I think that's speaking primarily of Israel. When his branch is yet tender, he put it forth leaves. You know that the summer is nigh. Something's fixing to happen. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I want to take you back just a moment because we're hearing a lot about Israel these days, right? I mean, that's sort of the pivot point of the news and what's going on politically. But the history of Israel started a long time ago. It started back with someone by the name of Abraham. We won't turn there, but you can look it up in Genesis 12, the first three verses. And there were four promises made to him. And let me qualify that by saying these were conditional promises. They were made without conditions being put on them. God's going to fulfill them. And so, just very briefly, he promised to bless Abraham. Well, he did, didn't he? Abraham went up with one of the richest men in his day and many other things. He promised to make a great nation out of him. And now we see it. Currently, there are 6 million Jews in Israel, maybe more, and 5 million Jews in the United States, and many others dispersed all over the land, all over the country. They are there. I'm glad that God has given us the Jews. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make them a blessing to many. A blessing to many. Now think of what the world would have missed without the Jews. Do you realize what we would have missed without them? Number one, we would have missed the Bible. We wouldn't have any Bible because of the Jewish writers. Number two, we wouldn't have Ten Commandments. We wouldn't even know what God expects. Number three, no Jesus, no Savior. Jesus was born a Jew. Of course, it was a virgin birth, but that was his nationality, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it were not for Abraham and the unconditional promises, we would have no Savior today. And wouldn't that be terrible, that we would not have a Savior? He promised to bless those also who bless Israel. We need to keep that in mind. We better keep it in mind politically. One reason I believe God has blessed America, and he has, is because America took a stand for the Jewish people. And America gave them a homeland. And America gave them the chance for businesses and education and for protection and all of those things, economic and social things that were a blessing to them. Also, there is a territorial promise, geographically, given to them. Clear boundaries are set in Ezekiel 48. We don't need to turn there, but read it sometime. And they have never fully, over a period of time, occupied all of it yet. But may I say to you today, they will. They will someday. I think the greatest sign in the church age and to the church today is the return of Israel to her land. Just keep in mind, they were dispersed for many, many years. No nation in the world, not one nation, no nation in the world as important as Israel as far as the future. It's important to God. It's important in His Word. The prophets of doom said the second coming was going to come in World War I. And others said in World War II. That's the Lord's coming. And here was a problem with that. It couldn't have happened then because the masterpiece of the jigsaw puzzle was not in place. It was missing. In other words, the Jews were not back in the land. But I want to tell you now, they're back. And I can tell you also that the rapture probably is near, possibly very near. So if you want to outline it, let's say Israel is the fuse to Armageddon. You know what Armageddon is. Armageddon is that time at the end of the tribulation period down there where God is going to destroy, come back with his saints and destroy all of the enemies of God. A God of love is also a God of justice. He's also a God of righteousness. And that's going to take place one of these days. And we cannot ignore prophecy about Israel's future. This is a miracle nation. A miracle nation. They should not exist. They have survived against formidable odds for many, many years. Continuous unity as a people for 4,000 plus years. It's a miracle nation. They have national identity today. They got some of that as they were dispersed 2,600 years ago. They lost some of that, and now they're coming back. They were twice, at least twice, major times, they were destroyed seemingly as a people, but twice they returned like the prophet said. And the prophet in the past said that there would be proof of the future of this prophecy fulfilled in them. Did you know Moses predicted that they would be chastened two times? And they were two major times in the Babylonian captivity in 587 B.C. when they took them into captivity. Started in 606 B.C., but finally they took them out into Babylon. And then Titus came, destroyed the temple in 70 A.D. and ransacked that whole territory. Two major times. There were other things that happened in between those things. But it was predicted here in this book. This is a book I like. This is a book is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Who reads the newspaper anymore anyway? It's more up to date than your cell phone, all right? Predicted that they would return 70 years after Babylonian captivity. What happened to them under the decree of Cyrus? He let them go back to the land. Do you think that was an accident? No. The heart of the king is in the hand of God. And God caused Cyrus to favor them and let them go back. And then came 1948. What a historical year that was, 1948. After almost 2,000 years, they became a nation again. Past scoffers, and there were plenty, and there still are some, they laughed before 1948. They said it'll never happen. They are ruined. They'll never come back to the land. Israel is finished. There is no literal second coming of Jesus Christ. It will never happen. They are finished. By the way, we still have scoffers today. We still have people who say they're not going to go back in the land. We still have people that say Jesus is not going to return for the rapture of the church and the bride. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 3:4, saying, where's the promise of his coming? That's what they were asking. People are asking that today. And then they say, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All things have not continued as they were since the beginning of creation. And verse 3 of that same chapter, the verse previous to that, he said, There shall come in the last days scoffers. The last days. And people are saying, don't give me that stuff about Christ coming soon. Don't give me that stuff that he's going to return and Israel's going to go back in the land. Well, I can give it to you because that's exactly what the Bible says. Israel's restoration seemed impossible. But they, the Christians, the Bible believers, said it's going to happen. In 1611, commentaries said it was going to happen. 1864, Dr. John Cummings, he predicted their return. This was 84 years before they returned that he predicted it. So Israel's restoration is believed to be because people believe the Word of God. Jeremiah described it 2,600 years ago. He said there would be a nation born in a day. A nation born in a day. And this is leading to something practical, so don't get lost in the information and the history of it. The enemy would fight the new nation. Christ is to return and destroy the enemy, and that'll happen primarily at Armageddon. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but that's going to be a terrible time. But Ezekiel described it as he talks about that in Ezekiel 38:8. Here's what he said. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, underscore that, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of my many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, plural, and they shall dwell safely all of the time. He gave us some clues here. What were they? Clue number one, the latter years. And we are in those latter years, I believe. Clue number two, they would be restored after a long desolation after the sword. And clue number three in that verse was they would be restored from many nations where they were dispersed. And clue number four was the millennium is promised, and they will be a great part of the millennium. So Israel is the fuse to Armageddon. It really is. Watch Israel. That's why I get excited about what's going on. I don't agree with maybe some of the things that are going on, but I know God's moving, and I know Israel's moving, and I know a lot of nations are moving against Israel, and that is very significant. Secondly, Israel is the perfect parable. Israel is the perfect parable. Matthew 24:32. Now learn a parable. It's an earthly saying with a heavenly meaning. A parable of the fig tree. Learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. He's talking about Israel. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And then he said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Folks, time is moving on, and it's moving toward that point. And then thirdly, Israel and the repossession of old Jerusalem. You know, they did not have possession of it for a long time. And repossession has to happen, had to happen, before the tribulation. It had to happen that they had repossession of old Jerusalem. Zechariah chapters 12 and 14 talk about the siege of Jerusalem by all nations. It describes a battle in and around Jerusalem. Christ was revealed to the Jews during that time, at a certain time in Jerusalem. In other words, Israel had to possess old Jerusalem to fulfill the scriptures. Who would have thought they would ever got it back? Well, the Muslims, and then the Dome of the Rock, which is their holy place, and they think that Muhammad left there, and I think maybe left a few hairs of his head there. And I got to go through that a long time ago, and they don't let you do it much now. But that's a very holy place to them. Well, what's going to happen? How are they going to rebuild the temple? Some believe it'll be maybe part to the side of it. Others believe it has to be right there on the Temple Mount. If I leaned in one direction, it'd be that one. That means that that dome's got to come down. You say, well, it'll never come down. One bomb can take it down. One bomb can take it down. It won't take just that long for it to come down. One guy went over to bomb it one time, and he bombed the wrong dome. And so it didn't work. It wasn't God's timing. That's why. It just wasn't God's timing. But those things are going to happen. And so Israel had to possess old Jerusalem. Who would have thought before the Six-Day War in 1967? A few years after that, I went over there, and I saw some of the tanks that had been blown up, some of the enemy's tanks. They left them there as memorials to say, don't mess with us. And so we were going there, and we had a guide. Our guide's name was Moshe, or Moses. Moses was my guide. And so we were talking to Moses one night, a missionary and I, and we were drinking Cokes together, and I was telling him about it. I said, tell me about that Six-Day War. What about all that? And I said, that was a miracle war. And he told the story. He said they captured a lot of the enemy. And after they interviewed them, they said, how in the world, why didn't, with all the people you had, all the soldiers you had, how was it you didn't defeat us? We just had a few soldiers. They said, oh, no, you didn't just have a few soldiers. We saw thousands of soldiers over there. You see, there's something in the Bible about God being able to do that. And he's done it before. And he did it then. That was a miracle win of the war in 1967. And that opened that up. And then one of these days there will be the abomination of desolation. That's going to happen. Well, the temple has to be rebuilt. There can be no abomination of desolation if the temple's not rebuilt. Now, there was Antiochus Epiphanes years ago. Some people say, well, that's when it was. No, that wasn't it. But he did go in the temple then, and he offered of all things on the altar a pig. That doesn't go well with Jewish people, and that certainly doesn't belong in the temple. But he was just a prototype of what's going to happen when Antichrist demands in the temple that he be worshipped, and he be worshipped over the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. And Jews must have old Jerusalem. They must build the temple. And I understand from people who travel there and talk to some other folks who are involved in the project that a lot of those things are being done right now. A lot of the furniture is being put together and maybe already ready to put in the temple when that other comes down or when that temple is rebuilt. I'm simply saying, folks, everything's stacking up like it ought to. And I think we're getting very close. Israel is the key to the prophetic jigsaw puzzle. Now, I say this as evidence. Look at what's happening now. Anti-Semitism is exploding. In America, in our universities, anti-Semitism. And other countries are joining in. This fits Bible prophecy. We're getting closer and closer to that. Anti-Semitism is right out of hell. Did I hear an amen to that? Don't be afraid to say it. It is. God says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who bless you. And we know many of the things that happened to the Jewish people. But I'm telling you, it is something that is exploding. And they are saying from the river to the sea, the Muslims want to kill every Jew they can. They want to destroy every last Jew they can. Drive them from the river all the way to the sea. Wipe them out. That's what they mean. Hamas, that's exactly what they want to do. I think the rapture is near. I really do. We can't set a day. We can't set a time. But we can inspect some of the things that are going on. And we can know that certain parts of that puzzle have come into place. They are in place today. A lot of stuff is boiling over that would show you how this could happen. You have China in the end time that is a great player. You have Russia in the end time that is a great player. There was a time they didn't even exist. But the Bible scholars said they would come, and they are, and they will be part of all of that. I wish we had time to go into it, but you'll be glad I don't. The rapture's near. I think Armageddon is around the corner. There was a comic in Russia, in a Russian paper. And this comic wrote, did this particular comic strip. And he depicted churches being destroyed. And he also pictured a Russian climbing up to heaven. And the Russian was climbing up with a hammer in his hand. And he said, under the caption, he was going to destroy the Trinity. My friend, he'll be destroyed. Probably already is, as far as if he's already passed without believing in God. You see, that's not going to happen. The enemies of God will be destroyed. You won't destroy heaven. You're not going to destroy Jesus. You're not going to destroy the gospel. It's not going to happen. Now, you say, well, why tell us all about the rapture? Well, are you rapture ready? Are you really rapture ready? You see, the rapture is imminent. What does that mean? It's a fancy word that says it can happen any time. I mean, there's not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled before Jesus comes in the air and catches up his bride. It could happen right now while I'm finishing this message. You'd be so happy, you'd just be thrilled. Right here in the message, the rapture would take place. Here's the question, in all seriousness. Are you saved? Do you know that you're ready to meet the Lord? You see, it could happen any moment, perhaps today. But if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will miss the rapture. You will be left behind, as a popular book says. You will be left behind. Listen to me, friend. Listen carefully. If you've never trusted Christ, sir, ma'am, young person, as your Savior, and the rapture takes place, and it's going to, you'll be left behind. And I believe there's a lot of evidence to teach that you would not be saved during the tribulation. In other words, you've had your chance, and you did not listen. The story is told about a big fire that took place out in California, and it was prone to fires, and so they gave everybody a lot of special phone line and phone numbers and all of that to call if a fire came, or so they could get to them with a message and certain tones that would be given. And a lot of those people were there, and sure enough, a terrible fire came back in the latter 70s, early 80s. And that fire spread and was spreading fast. And they warned the people who had those special telephones to get out. Some of them did, but some of them would not answer their phone. Some of them would not leave. And some of them, when even they were told to leave and they knew the fire was coming, they still wouldn't leave. And they died in the fire. They wouldn't listen. My dear friend, listen to me today. You can think that this old preacher's cracked, but let me tell you, that's where the light got in. Okay? You can think that we are wrong about this, but I can tell you, and I can tell you on the authority of this book, and by the way, it all starts right here with this book. This is God's Word, and we can prove that, but we won't do that now. But I'm telling you, you need to listen. If you're not sure you're saved, sir, ma'am, anybody in this building, 100% for sure that if Jesus came today, that you would be ready to meet him. Rapture ready. Besides all of that, you don't know how long you're going to live anyway. I've had a lot of funerals in my lifetime, 50-something years, 57 in the ministry. And I've had little babies. I've had little boys and girls. I've had teenagers. I've had young singles. I've had middle age. And then I've had senior citizens and all. You never know when you're going to die, friend. You would be so wise. I beg you. I plead with you. Don't put off getting saved. Get ready for the rapture. Get ready for eternity. So that if Christ comes for his bride, you will go up. 1 Thessalonians tells us the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those which remain and are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. What? We're ready to go in the rapture. I think I'm at my age, I'm hoping the rapture will happen, and Carol and I can hold hands and go to heaven. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. But rapture ready, saved, if not, and I don't think, as I said, you say, well, I'll get saved when the tribulation starts. I'll know what's going on. You will not. Many people who have never heard will. And there's too much to say. There's too much I want to say, and I'm just not going to do it. But there'll be 144,000 sealed Jews that'll be great evangelists, and they'll preach all over the world. People all over the world will get saved. And especially a lot of Jewish people will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But to you that are saved, are you rapture ready? You say, well, I'm saved. I know I got saved so-and-so, and you know the time and all of that. You need to be sure. The Bible says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? If you're really saved, you're going to do what God wants you to do. You're going to be so convicted by the Holy Spirit, you'll want to do what God wants you to do. We need to be sold out, Luke 6:46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Tim McGraw had a song, and not that I was a fan of his, but I did read about it. By the way, Tim McGraw is right from my hometown, right out of my hometown. Built a baseball diamond, all that there. But Tim McGraw had a song called Live Like You Were Dying. How many of you ever heard it? You secular humanist, I know. And what he was saying, some of the lyrics said, love deeper and speak sweeter. That's good for Baptists. And giving forgiveness. What he was simply saying is, do these things that make you ready to die. Ready to die. And Christians, we need to do the things. We need to witness. We need to tithe and give. We need to serve wherever there's opportunity to serve and there's a need. We need to support missionaries so they can go around the world and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to judge sin in our life. And if there's some practice sin in our life, hatred, if there's something like bitterness and anger and pride and drugs and alcohol and also in some cases pornography and all of those things that do not belong in our life as Christians, relationships that do not belong there, having some kind of potential affair at the office, whatever it is, we need to judge that and get it ready and be ready for the rapture. Christians, a lot of Christians just aren't really ready. You're saved, and you'll be saved though as by fire. But whatever God has spoken to your heart about today, you need to do something about it. God loves the church. I'm going to speak on tonight the influence of the church in the 21st century. Is it still viable? Is it still right? And I hope you'll come back. But anyway, you need to do this. Number one, if you're not saved, hear me, friend. Get saved today. Do not put it off. It's the most wonderful thing. All of you saved people say, amen. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to be saved, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christian, if you need to do business with God, Here's an altar, and you can come. Let's stand. We'll pray. And if you need to come for those reasons, whatever, and if you want to become a member of this church, step to the aisle nearest you, come forward, and they'll tell you how to do it. And if you haven't followed the Lord and Believer's baptism, just come and say, I have not followed the Lord and Believer's baptism. I want to be baptized, and we'll take care of it from there, people. And if you want to join this church, come forward. They'll take care of it. All right? Let's pray, and then we'll go right into our invitation. And don't hesitate. If God's spoken to you about anything, you come, and that'll be the right thing to do. Heavenly Father, I sincerely pray that if there's one lost person here today, one, even just one, that he or she would come to Christ. Please help them not to make the mistake of putting it off. Please help them to be saved and be rapture ready today. Because we know, Jesus, it seems that you're coming for your bride probably pretty soon. We don't know when, but help them to be saved. And help us as Christians to be right with you. If you should come today, that we could know that our lives are right with you. Not that we're perfect, but that we are striving to love you, serve you, and do your will, and judge sin in our lives and defeat the devil. May you help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.